out his face and wailed in there to sing forever of his saving grace. Oh, you know that I'm on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice. Will then care. I'll be home at last and ever to rejoice. I'm singing, oh, I want to see my Jesus and look upon his face and will then there to
thank you, Lord,
sing forever of his saving grace. Oh, you know that I'm on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice. Will then there's a path.
I'll be home
at last and ever to rejoice. I'm singing, oh, I want to see him look upon his face and well and there to sing forever of his saving grace. Oh, you know that I'm on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice. Well, then I'll be home at last and ever
to rejoice. Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? You sound good, so I know you must be doing good. If you are visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will, someone will acknowledge you at the end, close to the end of our worship service. It's just good to be here. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you're tuning in by way of television, by way of live stream, good morning. Church, say good morning. Good morning. We want to make them feel like that. We have quite a few of our members when they're out of town, and some of my friends, some of your friends who tune in by way of live stream. Our television program is normally a two-week, like the program that shows, it's recorded and showed 2 weeks later, and normally that's the case. And so those of you that's watching by way of television, we want you to visit, because if you're watching by television, you're close enough. You're close enough, because we're at a cable station, and so if you are able, if your health allows it, please visit us at your earliest convenience. I know if you've been watching and you tune in from Sunday to Sunday, there must be something that you are enjoying. But I tell you what, you will enjoy it more if you come here to Monte Church. Amen. And so we invite you, open invitation, to come and be with us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I started a series of lessons a couple of weeks ago entitled Undeniable Biblical Principles. And I did the first lesson of that series was on stewardship. And for time's sake, I'm going to dive right into my second lesson of that series. And we use the term principles because principles are fundamental truths that support what we believe. And we believe that the Bible has some undeniable principles that if we're going to be pleasing to God, and even if we don't obey the principles are still true. And it's a decision we have to make. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, if you will, because you've already made a decision by getting up early this morning and coming here to worship God. But sometimes people come here for different reasons. And sometimes you'd be surprised, people that's been here a while, sometimes they just come out of habit. They're just used to coming. And sometimes people will come, get so used to listening to a sermon. They've heard so many sermons that they just hear the sermons. They don't want to do nothing what the Bible says. or just some of what the Bible says, as long as it don't cross something that they have a problem with. And every now and then we need to be reminded that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And his word has not changed since it was written. And so we search the scriptures to try to know what God would have us to do. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God gives us everything that pertains to life while we're living on this earth and godliness. And so he helps us to know how to live. And that's what I don't, at this point in my life, I need some help with everyday living. Just, you know, getting along with people and learning how to respond and how to talk and how to handle situations. And today we're dealing with the topic of conflict, the biblical principles of conflict. And we're not talking about, you know, because with the scriptures, many times it uses the word conflict, and if you use the King James translation, it uses the word strife. And so there is a difference, and we're not talking about just an argument or just a disagreement, because strife is deeper than an argument. And in the context that we're dealing with this, with the principles that with the scriptures that I'm going to pull out, the context we're dealing with it, we're talking about something a little bit broader than a disagreement. And strife, it usually involves bitterness and something that's been going on inside for a while. And sometimes it even leads to violence. And the word of God has something to say about that. Are you ready for this morning? With our hearts ready to hear the word of God. You know, the scripture Solomon, you know, the Bible calls him the wisest man besides Jesus Christ that ever lived, and nobody before him, nobody after him. And then God put the Holy Spirit in him to write these inspired word of God based on his experience and the wisdom that God gave him. And he writes so many wise sayings in the Bible. And he says this in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. It is to one's honor. I'm reading from the NIV, the NIV translation. It says, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, to avoid this kind of conflict. And you know, one of the easiest, well, I know somebody said, Brooke, Gary, you can't avoid strife, conflict, because we're living in a world, a crooked world, there's sin in the world, and we know that some conflict cannot be avoided. Oh, we wish it could, but it cannot. And there are some, remember the sense, the definition we're using. We're not, because some conflict brings resolution. It brings, you know, you have to deal with something to get to a resolution, and you have to deal with it in a way you disagree with a person, but you can talk about it and come to a resolution. But we're talking about, see, the Bible, the scripture, in this particular case, it's talking about something that's deeper than just an argument or just in a disagreement. And it says it's to one's honor to avoid, the best way to avoid, to deal with some strife and conflict is simply to avoid it. Now, how do we avoid it? Well, I don't know. It just depends on what the situation is. But listen to what else it says. It says, but every fool is quick to argue, to quarrel. And that's what the scripture said. It says, it says, every fool, is, and I know, don't you say to use the word. And the Bible is right. I'm like Brother Leroy now. A person that is quick to argue, the Bible calls that person. Now, Brother Gary didn't call him a fool. The Bible calls that person a fool. That's a harsh word. You know, I know how some of us, sometimes we, it depends on our situation, how we grew up, who we were around, how we were raised, that plays in how we respond to things. But as Christians, as those who are trying to please, let's listen to God's word. The Bible is telling us this: don't be quick to run our mouth every time a situation arises. Because the Bible says every fool is quick to quarrel. That's what the scripture says about this type of strife. And so we're looking at this, and I hope this helps us. I hope this helps us, Lord have mercy, as we deal with each other. And we need it in the church. Yeah, we need it in the church. You see, and some of the questions, and you know, I was reading and studying some of these passages, and you know what the scripture calls the underlying cause of this kind of strife? It says it's sin. It's the underlying cause. James puts it this way in James chapter 4 and verse 1. He just spells it out. He said, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Lord have mercy. Oh, that's so true. That's a principle that's true because, you know, sometimes when we just can't get our way, or it's something that we want, or it's something that we just are so standing, it leads to fights. And I'm not saying that you're wrong all the time, but James is addressing, the scripture is addressing, it says, listen, when you come to a point that there is some conflict that's going on, first of all, don't be quick to open your mouth. That's some wisdom there, isn't it? If we just do that, we'd be ahead of the game. Sometimes it's just good to just listen to people just run talk, and they reveal just type of character that they have. And so that's the root of it. And then it identifies the type of people that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of these type of individuals. And notice the scriptures say, first of all, to avoid strife. And we need to measure when we're in a situation what's at stake. You know, some arguments not even worth it. You know, some things just not worth arguing about. You know, because you know, there's a phrase that everybody has a what? An opinion about everything. You know, the holidays are coming up. You at your fam folks out, you start talking about politics, boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to get heated. Because everybody has an opinion. Who's right and who's wrong? Well, I don't know. We don't know all the time. I tell you what, you start talking about religion at the table, at the kitchen table, when your family is around. You start talking about religion, and see, don't that conversation will heat up, won't it? And the question is, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to act? And sometimes we need to measure what's at stake. And there is a lot at stake. The relationships are at stake. Friendships are at stake. We're not talking about standing up for what we believe and having a conviction about what we believe. We're talking about the type of strife, the type of conflict that causes so many problems in the world. You know, Solomon puts it this way in Proverbs 15 and 18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, stirs up strife. But the one who is patient, everybody say patient. Anybody need some patience? Yeah, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is patience. What do you mean, fruits of the Spirit? That's one of the aspects that God expects Christians to have, is some patience. And I wish they could put it in a bottle and you can just take a spoonful every morning. I'm serious. It's patience, you know. This morning I was, you know, dressed. I got up real early this morning. I was dressed and getting everything ready. Some of y'all act like y'all was doing the same thing. My wife, she's just so, you know, busy. You know, she's getting everything ready. She's in the kitchen and put some stuff in the washing machine, and I kept seeing her walking around, and she didn't have her clothes on, though. I mean, not you know, she wasn't getting ready, and I kept seeing, and I put my shirt on and my towel, and I said, you know, I'm going to just sit down. But I sit right where she could see me. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, church. I've come a long ways with that. I heard you say amen. I know it's simple. I know it sounds so. You know it's not simple. And battles happen right in our household. And we need to learn how to use some of these principles. And I sit there and I say, you know, and I told some of you church, you know, sometimes now I just go out sitting, babe, I'm out in the car. because I know what can happen in here. And I know where it can lead if I say the wrong thing. And I just found out through experience. I just found out, brothers, I found out that it's not worth it. It's just a battle that I say, you know what, I'm gonna put my little two cent in, and I'm gonna do it in a kind way, and I'm gonna sit down. Because, you know, you can just go off. See, this is to all of us. This is to the young and to the old. Being hot-tempered is not a character that God wants you to have. I don't care. But I get mad. You need to work on that. Yeah, we need to work on how we, It says this in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. These are things that we need to beware of. In scriptures, now the first one is that a hot-tempered person stirs up cunt. And sometimes we have the nerve enough as Christians to say, you know what? I'm gonna just tell people. You haven't been reading your Bible. You haven't been taking heed to it. See, because it almost identifies you, because it says, because that's what a hot-tempered person will stir up strife. You a hot-tempered person will make a kind person mad. It's like you want it to happen. It says this in Proverbs 28:25. The greedy stir up conflict. The greedy, and there's a lot that could be said about that, but when you want something, you know, and you're not worrying about nobody else, and you want it, and you're going to have it, that type of person can stir up conflict. But then it goes on to say, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. That's a principle. Because we see, the Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything. See, in everything, you know, we ought to make our requests known to who? To God. You know, yeah, we want nice things. Yes, we want things to be better. Yes, we want situation to be better, but not at all costs. We're not going to argue and cause, be cantankerous to other folk because we want our way. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Yeah, you're not careful. I could bring up some examples, but I don't want to stir you the wrong way this morning. But this is a self-analysis and something we need to do. And I know, there have been times, and a lot of us at different points in our life, you're in a meeting for a reason and trying to accomplish things and accomplish goals. But who has their way all the time? Yeah. You just tear up the meeting. Just at work, at church, at home, the family reunions. And just cause strife, tension. Sometimes we can't have our way. And sometimes we don't need our way. Sometimes even the other way is not the best way, but just to hold things down, we say, I'm going to be like Christ this time. Oh, Lord, now that hurt, didn't it? No, brother, I ain't going to do that. Yeah, you're going to start a war. He says this in Proverbs 10:12. Listen, hatred stirs up conflict. Now, I don't know where that comes from. See, we as Christians, we ought not be hating people. But I know you don't know what kind of people I deal with. You don't know what kind of people I deal with. We don't know. Most of us got somebody who, in our life, in our family, that have done us in a way that if we could choose to hate them. I mean, most of us. I should say all of us. If you my age, I know you do. There's somebody that has done something to you And then sometimes, you see, in the text, if you had time, we had time to read all of it, you will see these are choices that we make. Because sometimes we choose to hate somebody for the wrong reasons. The scripture talks about being envious and jealous. We are jealous of people. And you have that mindset in your, that's in your mind. Conflict is coming when you have to deal with them. Because you simply don't even want to be around them. Yeah, and the scripture says hatred stirs up conflict. Yeah, and it does. Lord knows it does. You know, you just don't like somebody. Sometimes we hold on to things way in the past. And see, remember the type of conflict that we're talking about. We're talking about the type of conflict that causes bitterness. And it causes sometimes even violence. It causes these evil thoughts and that we have against it. It's not, we want, it's like we almost want harm to happen to the person. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. And I know, this is... There are so many scriptures that deal with this, and so they were having problems with it back there in the Bible. And you have two sisters in the book of Philippians that were having a disagreement to the point that that Paul wrote and told the brother, y'all need to help these sisters. Because they in the church and they having this disagreement, and it's causing, and somebody wrote me about it. And it's happening in the church. I wonder if that's happening in here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I'm just asking a question. You know, don't answer it now out loud. Yeah. And these lessons are kind of they're real touchy because see I'm talking about the symptoms and the way we identify this, but I want to get on the remedies before I sit down. Because there are some remedies that Scripture gives in the way we, as Christians, should deal with conflict. But first, we have to examine and be honest with ourselves. Amen? Amen. I mean, you know, I know if I got a hot temper or not. I was talking to a young man. Well, maybe I shouldn't say, well, he's not here. But I was talking to a young man. He just told me, he said, "Look, I got a temper." And that is key to identifying when you got an issue with something is to recognize. But the hardest person to deal with is the person that won't acknowledge it. What do you mean, Brother Gear? It's not everybody else that start the argument all the time. Sometimes it's us. Start the strife, start the conflict. And what's the remedy? You need to get to the remedy because it's getting mighty quiet in here, Brother. Yeah. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 25. I know this is not a Thanksgiving message. It says to, everybody all right? It says to, listen to this. This is Jesus talking. I don't want to take it out of context, but listen to what he said. He says, settle matters quickly. That's some good advice right there. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Now, I don't want to take this out of context. In this particular instance, Jesus, he's talking to his followers. And why do you think he brought this up? Because there was something that was going on. He knows our everyday lives. We have civil things that happen, you know, with our neighbors. We live in a neighborhood. See, listen, the Bible has everything that pertains to life. Not only while you in church, and not only while you worshiping. God has principles that handle us when we at home, when we at work. And he says, listen, when you're dealing with people, he says this. He says, settle matters quickly with you. And he uses the term adversary. That's your opponent. Now, sometimes you're dealing with folks who already are your opponent. They don't agree with you. They're not going to agree with you. Might be dealing with them in a particular situation. He said, if the person is already your adversary, in other words, they already suing you. He says, who is taking you to court? Do it while you are still on the way. He says, now, you run across a situation where This person is your opponent. And they out to get you for whatever reason. They might be suing you. He said, you need to come to an agreement with them. It's almost like he said, you need to sell this out of court. And, you know, and really, if you look at it, most civil matters, most quality attorneys attempt to sell things out of court. Yeah, because when you go to trial, you're in the hands of a jury, you're in the hands of a judge. And if you don't have it together, and by the way, when you know you're wrong, when you know you've done an act that's wrong, that's incorrect, and you still arguing with somebody trying to get something you don't deserve, you need to cut that off anyway. Amen? Amen? Yeah, you say, oh, no, I'm taking this. I'm going all the way to court with this. Okay. Jesus trying to give you some advice. And he says to settle this matter quickly. Yeah. Sister KB has helped me with this one because, you know, some of us, we shun conflict to the point where we just brush it under. We act like it's just going to go away if we don't deal with it. And we find out soon that it just doesn't happen that way most of the time. And he says this, he says, on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out. Jesus gives us a warning. He said, listen, church Christians, he said, be wise in your living. Don't go through all this. Don't go through. You're spending all this money. You're spending all this. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show. Y'all going to see. I'm going to get them. Really? You're going through all of that trying to prove something that don't really matter anyway. Nobody care about but you. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes it's our pride to get in the way. Lord, help us with our pride. Yeah, we don't want nobody to get us. We don't know about how they're going to do me like that. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18. These are remedies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. He uses a term. It's almost the same term he uses for food. You remember the passage we read in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3 about the fool? Every fool is quick to quarrel. He says this, the words of the reckless pierce like the words of the person who, the words of the person who just fly off at the handle. This person is reckless. They don't care. They don't care how they make a person feel. They don't care who's in the room. And then this person, they will even claim, yeah, I said it. It was me. Now say something. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. And they do. Your words hurt us. Let me say that again. Words hurt us. They hurt all of us. Even people you think are strong. It matters what you say to me. You know, it matters how you say it. And the scriptures say, don't be reckless. You know, who wants to be insulted? Who wants to be talked down to? Notice this, even when you have criticism, that's a way to criticize a person. And all God is trying to tell us is in this principle is to give some thought. Before we say something, give some thoughts to the words that's going to come out. Oh, have mercy. This is a remedy for this type of conflict. Yeah, some stuff you know you're going to put somebody on with. Then it says, but the tongue of the wise. If I was to ask the question, don't raise your hand. But if I was to ask the question, who in here wants to be wise? And then I was to ask the question, who in here is wise? And I believe all of us want to be wise. Amen. Yeah, I mean, who don't want to be wise? And then the scripture gives us one of the elements, one of the principles that puts us on the wise track. First of all, is to, before we talk, just stop. Yeah, be quiet. Don't worry. When people say, well, what you got to say? And then sometimes my wife say, we say something. I say, baby, just chill. Just give me a minute. But sometimes that's the wise thing you can say to your husband is baby, or to your spouse, or to your friend, to your boyfriend, to your employer, to your coworker. The wisest thing you say, well, just give me a minute. Because once it's said, it's out there, right? Now, this is one I want you to raise your hand on. How many of us have ever said something that we wish we could take back? Now, I got another question for you. But could you take it back? And so, one of the principles, if we just use it, we automatically become wiser. And I know some of us some of us like to talk more and we want to answer everything. We got to say, stop doing that all the time. And people be surprised. You not saying nothing? She not saying nothing? He not saying nothing? And just smiling, just the Lord is shining on you. I'm improving. I'm coming a long way. Yeah, and it says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Boy, that's what we need in the world. That's what we need in our... Any of our families need some healing? Let me tell you, a good way your families can heal is for us to talk less and listen more. Just don't... And you don't have to give your opinion to everything that somebody say. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, a gentle answer. Look at this. A gentle answer turns away strife. That's what the Bible says. It's just trying to give us all of this a gentle answer. Now, baby, that's not, even when you're wrong, that's not what I meant, baby. Because you can say it in a way, yeah, you said it. Yeah. It turns away. It kills the hostility. It kills the conflict. A gentle answer. Yeah, you're in a meeting. Different opinions are given. You're a different opinion. A person gives an opinion that you totally disagree with. Well, look at this. I understood what you said, but I gotta say that I don't agree with that. Now, you could say it like that, or you could say, you crazy. Who you think? Once you've done that, you've elevated that meeting to a whole nother level that you probably can't even get back. Just by you just a gentle answer. And normally when a gentle answer is needed is when something has been said or done that we don't agree with. So it's not when everybody's talking sweet and nice, we talking gentle. That should go on all the time. But it's when there is something happening that you don't necessarily agree with, that somebody is doing that you don't agree with, and the Bible says give a gentle answer to it. Because if you read the rest of that scripture, it says, but harsh words, angry words lead to wrath. That's a fight. And it seems like that's what some of us want to do anyway. Yeah. I'm telling you what now. I'm telling you what. I don't know about you, but I don't like fighting. Some of us, we too old to be fighting. I mean, it's so embarrassing. I know kids at school, they used to fight quite a bit. Now these folks, they don't fight with their hands. And you know what's really sad is see grown folks, two ladies taking their shoes off. They got their wig all over the place. You know, we laughing in here, but I'm telling you, that can... Ooh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. See, listen. This is some everyday wisdom for us as we're dealing with every situation that we have. It goes on to say, my goodness, my time is running. It says, now, it's giving us, these are remedies. First of all, when you can't settle matters quickly, and I know every matter can't be settled quickly all the time, and I know this is contextual. It says to stop before you speak. Don't use reckless words. And then it gives another one, principle. It's so simple that it's we almost miss it. It says Proverbs 13:20, and we say this a lot of time to the young folk, but I think we all the old folks need it. Walk with the wise and become wise. Amen. Yeah. That's what the scripture says. Walk is talking about our lifestyle. You know, it's not that you icing folks out, some people you don't want to be with, but some people, some people you know they got some issues. Some people you know if they're in a group of people, sooner or later they're gonna be arguing with somebody. They're gonna be fussing. They're gonna disagree. And some people are so opinionated they got to give their opinion about everything all the time. Well, I just wanted to know why y'all make the hamburger like this? It just don't make no sense. Get your hamburger and get out of there. I mean, some people argue about everything. And you stay around it and you're gonna get caught up right in there with it. But you're around somebody wise and something, it's beautiful to be around somebody who's calm to me. Yeah, you go out to eat, you go into a movie, you come into church, and they have this common personality, you know. So even when something happens, they don't get all out of whack, and because they learn, you know, they just chill out, you know. Be wise in how you deal with people, and you know what? It makes you wise to be with the wise. It says this for a companion. He uses his word again. A companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I wish I could ask a question. I will ask it. Don't you raise your hand. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble from being with a fool? I raise mine. You don't have to raise yours. Oh, I don't have time to tell you the story. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for delivering me from that person that was acting foolish. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Proverbs 16:7. I have more scriptures that I'm going to use. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. See, that's simply saying this, that if we manage our behavior, I'm glad this is in the Bible, because there's some folks it's hard to be at peace with. There's some folks that there's some folk that, whoo. But God says this. He says, I'm going to help you. You manage your ways. You manage your words. You manage your actions. And I'm going to take care of that for you. Now, you got to trust God for that one. You got to trust God for that one. I tell you what, but when it happens, you need to give God all the praise. You need to give him all the praise for thanking God. Because when we start taking matters into our own hands, we get ourselves in trouble. We get our families in trouble. We get embarrassed by doing things that God has not condoned. Because we think we're getting somebody back for doing us wrong. And all of a sudden, we become the wrong. He says this in James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. We're talking about how we deal with strife. And I know sometimes this can be seen as a weakness for Christians. You didn't say nothing, girl. You didn't, girl. Ooh, girl. If she would have said that to me, I would have been all over her. We know you would be. And I'm not going to tell you what the Bible calls you for doing that. But it says this. It said God opposes the proud person. He's in opposition to a haughty mind, to a person that all they're concerned about is how something is going to affect them and nobody else. You ain't thinking about your children. You're not thinking about your family. You're not thinking about your fellow employees. You're not thinking about the church. But you, that's not going to be outdone. I need to stop. I don't want to stop. But I need to stop. Because I wanted to get to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother sins or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. That's the one I wanted to get to. But I'm not going to go there because that'll take me 30 minutes. But I really wanted to bring out what the scripture teaches about the principles about us dealing with situations that can get out of hand, situations that turn bitter, that can even turn to violence. And we as Christians do not want to be the instigators. Blessed are the peacemakers, the scripture says, for they shall be called the children of God. And we want to be, everybody all right? Yeah, this is going to help us if we live by this principle. You're here today, you're not a child of God. And see, I got to say this before I sit down, because I don't think I'm going to get a chance to say it again. I'm so honored and so proud in a righteous way to be the minister of this church. I am. I say that because Friday was a glorious day for this church. Many of you were there and many of you labored. Not only Friday, Thursday was. Many of you came and helped unload the truck. And also not only Thursday, last Thursday and Friday, many of you signed our neighbors in and our community in. But it was a glorious day because just to see all of you working so hard for a common cause and greeting people as they came in. We had our Thanksgiving blessing to our community and those that's in the city of Houston. We distributed, I know, over 1,400 dinners, and I know other people are doing it in the city. But I'm just saying the way the church worked together, you awesome. And I know God was smiling. I know God was smiling. And then before we even got over, before they even started distributing, we had, I guess, about maybe 300 people in here, and we gave a gospel message, and three people got baptized. And we can't do nothing but give God the glory for all of that. And so I wanted to share that with you and just say to you, to the congregation, just you awesome, and that's God's work. And we couldn't have even bought the turkeys had you not been given. And there are a lot of people that are less fortunate, and they were helped. And I just wanted to say it out loud. And I say it to those of you who are not members of this particular body, Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We have our issues, and we have things that we have to deal with. And we have to use the Word of God to help us to be able to live and get along with each other and get along with those that's not members of this body. Because we're to be a light wherever we go. But we also don't want to paint a picture that we got it all together. Amen. That's why we're talking about these biblical principles. And notice this. The biblical principles work for anybody that use them. But you don't get the benefit and the blessings of God unless you're in his body. That's where all spiritual blessings come from. Those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. But we have an open door policy, and we say what Jesus said, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you want to be saved, if you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you can also become a member of this local body, but the universal body of Christ today. By faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you believe that with all your heart, and you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water. I wish I could tell you that life is going to be real easy when you do that, but that wouldn't be telling you the truth. Jesus suffered. We're going to have to suffer before we leave this earth. But God gives us tools to live every day and have the best life. He said, I came that you might have life. And he wasn't talking about just in heaven. And that you might have it more abundantly. And that's so we're trying to live. Anybody want the abundant life? I do. I want to have less arguments, less conflict. I want some peace. Peace in the home. Peace in the church. Peace on our jobs. But if we don't use these principles, we're not going to have peace. We're going to have some strife and conflict. And if you're here today, you want to be added to the body of Christ. Oh, please come. Give us your hand, but give God your heart. If you're here, you have something you want the church to pray for, we'll pray for you. If you want to get something right, get it right today as we stand and sing the song.
There's a fountain free tears.